Treaty. It's a song that is synonymous with Yothu Yindi and has gone on to be selected by APRA as one of their top 30 Australian songs of all time. But the song itself has an interesting history. The version that you probably remember is not the original one. The song, co-written by Paul Kelly, Yothu Yindi members, as well as Peter Garrett, was remixed by Filthy Lucre, and that is the version that charted both here and in the US and helped make Yothu Yindi a household name. As part of the 25th anniversary of the remix, Yothu Yindi and the Treaty Project is performing a huge gig tonight at the Enmore Theatre along with The Herd and Baker Boy. One of the members of Filthy Lucre is with us right now, Gavin Campbell. G'day, Gavin.
Hey, Mick. How you going?
Really good. Thanks for joining us on 2SER Breakfast.
Look, it's a pleasure.
I'm talking about this song here. It's been 25 years since Treaty was basically remixed and blew up on the charts. Do you remember how it all happened and how that song became one that you remixed and came so big?
Yeah. It's kind of etched in my memory. I'll never forget it. It was an interesting time because I had a dance label that was under the umbrella of Mushroom, and Yothu Yindi was signed to Mushroom. So, you know, we were making dance music and I needed stuff to release. And I've always had a bit of a fascination with Indigenous culture. So when I realised that there was a band from Arnhem Land on the label, I just said, let me hear everything. I really want to remix something. So it was decided to remix Treaty because I think the Yolngu Marpa chant in it was the finest that they'd recorded.
Yeah.
So we just set about remixing it. It took about 3 months with a couple of mates, Robert Goodge and Paul Main, and I, we're Filthy Lucre.
Yep.
And we'd already been doing some stuff, production work for my label. So it was just kind of a no-brainer, and it worked out really well.
Oh, it certainly did. And were you sort of nervous at the time about changing the track too much? Because I understand there wasn't a great deal of involvement with the Yothu Yindi at the time.
Well, you know, I had never met them at that point.
Right.
And it's funny you should say that because, you know what, we were just so, what a great idea. We were so gung-ho. We just did it, you know. And then as soon as it was finished, before we played it to anyone, we just looked at each other and said, oh, we've actually messed around with their traditional music, their elements, you know, the Yadaki and the Bilma, which is, of course, didgeridoo and clapsticks, and their chant. And it's quite old, that particular piece of music. So we actually started to really worry. So it was 2 months before we even played it to anyone whatsoever.
Oh,
we just,
wow.
We were like, oh, we're going to get in trouble. What have we done? Because to be honest, we didn't really get permission. People were like, no. You just do your thing, Gavin, and we'll do ours. This is Mushroom Executives. And so I actually snuck the tapes out of the building with the permission of someone in the A&R department.
Right.
And, of course, I know these days you would never get away with such disrespect, you know, for Indigenous culture. But I actually, you know, I just believed so much in what we were wanting to do. You know, the intent was all good. So it all worked out really well. But when we finally played it to people, everyone was like, oh, wow. So, you know, it worked out well. You need to be bold occasionally, don't you?
I think you do. And it's that real, that start of the track that is so well known now. And that wasn't in the original as such, you know, that way that, I don't know what the chant is at the very beginning, but it just really stands out as something that, wow, this is a new version. This is exciting and it still stands up.
To be honest, Mick, I, as you know, I'm a DJ. I'd been DJing for 10 years before we started to make music, and I'm really into funk and disco, American in particular. And there's a track called "Let's Start the Dance" by Hamilton Bohannon, which is a massive track. When everyone hears it, they go, "Oh yeah, I know this." So we actually grabbed the 12-inch version of that, and towards the end of it, there's all these black divas just, you know, blah, blah, singing, and that's where the clap your hands and dance comes from.
Oh.
And, yeah, and the, you know, that funky guitar that comes in, that's also from Bohannon. And I think that it really suited the Yolngu Marpa vocals and stuff, you know. It was just a no-brainer to make it sound loose, you know, like it was from the outback, so to speak, which it is, of course, but the funk samples really, really suited it.
Oh, it sure does, and it sets the tone for the song, which is such a really great dancing song as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So the track went huge, and for you, as Filthy Lucre, I guess it was like, whoa, this is, was it unexpected? What did it mean for you as a DJ and musician at the time?
Look, I'm not meaning to sound arrogant or anything. I always knew this was a really, really good idea. I just didn't expect it to hit overseas to the extent that it did. Like, it went to number 6 on the American Billboard dance chart, which is pretty hard to do, you know. There's a lot of dance music released at that period. The early 90s was quite prolific. The US was into it, Europe, the UK. It was a huge developing, you know, genre, half the charts overseas. So to hit that well was great. It actually went into the mainstream charts in a couple of European countries, I think South Africa and Belgium.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was played in all the clubs. If a city had a cool club, then the cool people who went out to nightclubs, they knew Trudy. It's quite, it has a lot of goodwill, especially with DJs.
And such a great story behind, obviously, the writing of the song and at the time how it was in response to Bob Hawke's reneging on the treaty promise that he made and bringing it to the fore so people realised how much this means to the Indigenous people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dr. M, who was the front man for Yothu Yindi before he passed away, he and his elder brother, Gulaway, they were actually, they're elders. And when Bob Hawke didn't come good, they like wanted to remind him.
Yeah.
So they wrote the song to perform at the Burunga Festival because they gave him something that was coined the Burunga Statement and in 1988. Mm. So then in 1990, they wrote Treaty to perform it just to remind everybody, to keep everybody aware that Bob Hawke had let them down. And you know, to be perfectly honest, when I realised, the 25th anniversary is coming up and we still don't have a treaty and the conversation, the national conversation is not just for treaty, it's for, there's all sorts of stuff going on in you know, and the culture is being celebrated. It's so celebrated that doing treaty again, and then, of course, it works well at the festivals because Australia has a great festival circuit at summer. The festival started asking if we could do a treaty moment, and it's just developed into this full show with a dozen people on stage. It's really exciting.
Well, that's it. A dozen people. It's called the Yothu Yindi Project.
Yothu Yindi and the Treaty Project.
And the Treaty Project, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this incarnation of the group, does it involve any of the original people as well?
Yes, yes. We've got Witiana Marika, who is one of the founding members. He and Dr. M. Yunupingu were the two Indigenous members from 1988. And they joined with a couple of fellows from a band called the Swamp Jockeys, Stu Calloway, and I think it might have been I'm not doing very well forgetting his surname. But so the four of them joined forces, and as they played, a lot of people would just join in and they'd have dances and Yadaki players, you know, two or three of them on stage and then quite a few backing singers. And in particular, actually, after Treaty became a hit and there was a female vocal in the song, you know, a couple more girls got a gig as backing singers. So it developed from there. But I've kind of digressed from what your question was. Yes, we've got Indigenous members. Sorry.
Yes. And like, there's like 12 people on stage, and it sounds like there's going to be some special guests as well. Any clues?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you. It's Shane Howard from Goanna.
Oh, yeah.
Shane is a long-term friend of the band, and he asked me a couple of years ago if I was interested in remixing Solid Rock. And I thought about it, and then I just turned around and because we were talking to festivals about this idea, and I said, yes, but we want you to actually come and become a part of this new show, this idea. So, yeah, we do Solid Rock. And so we remixed it. All of the music in the show is, well, there's, say, 70% Yothu Yindi, Solid Rock, and all of those songs have been remixed, especially for this show.
Right.
And we wrote two new songs.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a new for new members to sing, because Yudamal is the son of Witiana, and okay. Dharpanbal is the daughter of Dr. M, and they sing songs on stage with us. So it's kind of pretty much in the sort of up the top end, and we'll have a few generations on stage all at once. So I just thought, oh, this is cool. We don't have Dr. M anymore, but we can have his daughter and Witty's son. And so it's just great.
Oh, it's fantastic. What a mix of people. And, of course, you've got The Herd, who haven't played a gig in ages. They're going to be joining you as well.
That's really cool. We've got a bit of a cougar. I think it's a pretty hot ticket myself.
Oh, yeah. And Baker Boy as well, who's a hot young hip-hop artist, indigenous hip-hop artist, who has been kicking goals all over the place. Had a great 2017.
Everywhere. And what's great for us and Danzel, who's Baker Boy, he's actually done, we've got another version of Treaty, Treaty 18, which is not quite ready for release yet, but Danzel's done quite a big rap on it. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like featuring him and Dharpanbal. So it's, we're all about inclusivity. With this particular version of Yothu Yindi, and that's why we call it and the Treaty Project, because it's really not a reformation of Yothu Yindi, because we obviously don't have half the members, but it's a new version of it with their music. So it is about raising awareness and just celebrating the culture.
So good, so good. I found a quite an interesting fact that Treaty actually won ARIA's Single of the Year in 1992, and it beat Daryl Braithwaite's The Horses, which at the moment seems to be getting this massive revival everywhere.
It's funny, isn't it? Is Braithwaite's song getting popular because somebody covered it and made a hit of it?
Well,
is that what happened?
It's actually a cover that he did from someone else. It's not even his song.
Oh. I never knew that. Do you know, the funny thing is, way back then, around about that time, I was in the recording studio next to at Metropolis in Melbourne when Braithwaite was recording Horses.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, so we both end up going up against each other. I've just completely forgotten about who else was up for those awards. Winning Song of the Year for a dance remix blew my mind. I'm like, wow, things you can do and you just have a good idea.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. On tonight, the Yothu Yindi and the Treaty Project. It is on at the Enmore Theatre. I believe there are still tickets available, so get on down there. It's going to be a fantastic night along with The Herd and Baker Boy. Gavin Campbell, thanks for joining us here on 2SER.
Thank you, Mick. It's been a pleasure. I'll see people tonight.
Yeah, I'll see you there.